Good morning, good morning. Can I challenge you to just shut your eyes for a moment? I want to preach a message this morning to you, and I want you to hear not what I have to say, but I want you to hear what the Lord really wants to impart to you. And I'd like you to just, between you and the Lord, say, Lord, whatever you say today, it's yes, I'll do it. Someone once said to me, how do you do what you do, Ben? And I say, I've learned to live on the other side of yes. So I want to challenge you today in terms of this word. Before you even hear it, you're willing to live on the other side of yes. You're willing to actually go to wherever the Lord wants you to go in your life. Do whatever He wants you to do in your life. And that you're prepared to listen to Him in a fresh and a new way. Amen?
Amen.
As I come here a couple of times a year, I haven't been here for a year because of health issues early in the year, so thank you for many who've prayed for me. As you can see, I'm fit and healthy. Good doctors, but a good Lord. As I prayed, I said to my wife, I'm going to servants again with two messages in my heart. I often come here, you don't know this, but I often come here with two messages. And it's not until I'm here till I realize which one is the one the Lord wants me to speak. And sometimes it's daunting from the point of view is that I probably would like to preach the other message, but then He gets me to preach this one. But this morning, I want to speak to you this morning, and I want to do it in a way that I hope that the Lord will really take something that's old and make it new for you. You know, we struggle to find words which best describe what the world's going through right now, don't we? We've traveled through a global pandemic and we're still feeling the effects of that. It hasn't totally left us. There's geopolitical instability in the nations. There's radicalization. It's happening right across the world. The systems and the structures that we have trusted for centuries seems to be failing. Faith in national leadership seems to be, to me, at an all-time low. Even the spiritual environments of the world undergoing radical change. Therefore, I think as a people of God, in our position, it's important to know and discern the times and the seasons that we're traveling through. It's always been important, but with so much turmoil, so much instability, whether you're young or whether you're old, you and I, as part of God's church, need to be able to discern in the midst of it all, what is God doing? And how should we respond? What's our place in that? Now, my basic presupposition, which you really need to understand, but you're going to hear me speak to you this morning, my presupposition is that all history is under the direct control of a sovereign, omnipotent and holy God. Amen. You agree with that?
Yes.
However, while it might seem like things could be spinning out of control, it was Jesus Himself, when He was speaking to His disciples about the end times, and we are living in times that have end times feels about it, even though we don't know when the end times will happen. It was Jesus when they asked Him when is it going to happen, and he then portrayed in Matthew chapter 24 lots of things that will happen. But then he said this one verse that actually has riveted me many times. It's verse 6 of Matthew 24, and he says, "Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed." And I think they are unusual words of comfort, aren't they? He doesn't elaborate anymore. He just says, "Don't be alarmed. I don't be alarmed. They haven't caught him, you know, off guard. He's in control, and it will only go as far as he lets it. So don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed." You know, and so, you know, basically, "don't be alarmed" really means, if you're really to look at it and look at it in the context and look at a bit of Greek in it and to think about it, it basically says, don't fall apart and lose focus when bad things happen. So don't be alarmed. When I said this morning, whatever's happening in your world, don't fall apart and don't lose focus on who you are in God. It's very, very important. Therefore, right now, in the context of all that's happening, I think it's important, as it's always been important, that hearing and obeying the voice of the Lord in these critical times, you know, it's very important as we are buffeted in our life with conflicts, with so much change, and also confusion. So in the midst of all this turbulence, it's so important for you and I to hear, to know, and to obey what the Lord is saying to us. It's always been that way, but it's important. So today I want to bring you a word from a guy in the Old Testament that we don't hear a lot about. We don't hear a lot about him. And I think today it's a word that's prophetic and it's also missional. And it's about standing in our time, you and I, standing in our time like the prophet Habakkuk. So I want to speak to you about Habakkuk. Habakkuk really is a little book. It is only 3 chapters. There's 17 verses in one chapter, 20 in another, 19 in another. Overall, there's only 56 verses. A little known guy in a little lost country way out in the boonies back then. So let me give you some background, because I really can't do a study of Habakkuk. I would love to pull Habakkuk apart with you this morning, but in 30, 40 minutes, I can't. But you, if you've read it, will know a little bit about it. And let me give you a bit of background. The prophet Habakkuk was a world watcher. The thing that you have to understand about Habakkuk, he was a world watcher. He lived about 27 centuries ago. And he most likely lived through all the initial stages of his prophecy. His name actually means, Habakkuk means, one who embraces or wrestles. So in a sense, he actually embodied his name, because he embraced what was happening and he had to wrestle with what was happening in his world at that time. And as a prophet, it's very unusual. There's 2 unusual aspects to it. Number one, the prophet does not directly address the people at all. It's really, his book is an ongoing conversation between Habakkuk and God. And in a sense, for Habakkuk, it's this ongoing conversation, and he, in a sense, becomes the people's mouthpiece to God. Whereas the other prophets that we read about in the Old Testament were God's mouthpiece to the people. And the other thing about him, about this book, it actually includes in this book a doxology. You don't find that in other prophetic writings. Right at the end, there's a doxology. You know what a doxology is, don't you? A hymn of praise. A hymn of praise. Now, Habakkuk saw 2 major problems. I'm giving you a bit of a précis of Habakkuk, so, because I can't read it all for you. Habakkuk saw two major problems that he thought that he should tell God about. Have you ever felt like that? Ever felt that you should tell God about something because he actually is missing it? If you looked at the world today, you'd say, Lord, I need to tell you about this. There's some things happening out there, but boy, they're actually impacting me. I can't go on my holiday to Paris now because I've got COVID. Or wherever you want to go. And so the other thing he wanted to tell God about was the futility of prayer. The futility of prayer and divine inactivity. Like, what are you doing, God? You've never said that, have you? God, what are you doing in the presence of evil? What are you doing? Prayer's not working, God. Ever felt like that? I want you to know that the message of Habakkuk is so relevant for today. If there's a book in the Old Testament that's a good book to read and study and get the message of, it's this book. The book speaks about a people God allowed to travel through troubling times. In a sense, the book shows you and tells you that God permitted it. He permitted it. The book offers a picture of a prideful people being humbled by a righteous God, while in the midst of it, the righteous was called to live by faith. God allowed this godless people to be his instrument in order that his people might become. So he used this evil power so that his people might become watchmen and women of the time. Those men and women able to interpret the events and the trends, provide instruction for, and in a sense become God's signpost in a world that's gone chaotic. And he wanted his people to actually act as men and women of faith. But he was going to use this evil power. By the time we get to the end of Habakkuk's oracle, we see a man who really goes through it all with his people and he's held on to God regardless of the turbulent circumstances that he was experiencing and what was happening. He'd rested in God's promises in the midst of the trouble. He rested in God's character, no matter the difficulty or the evil that looked to befall him and his people. He held his ground. This is what he wrote. Listen to this. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. I'm quoting from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. It's a key verse of Habakkuk. Habakkuk tells us that no matter what the world foists upon us, God is greater and his plans are far above any human considerations. That our Father God truly has the world in his mighty hands. Unfailing hands. Hands that hold you secure as much as he holds the world secure, even though it appears like it's spinning out of control. That's why I've titled this message, Hallelujah for Habakkuk. I want you to turn to someone and say, Hallelujah for Habakkuk. The narrative of the book of Habakkuk outlines a number of big questions. Five questions in all, and I don't have time to drill into them all, but five big questions. And how in God in his faithfulness responds to those questions. In fact, the five questions that Habakkuk asks are really complaints. He complains to God. Now are you liking Habakkuk? By the way, he doesn't complain once to God and God speaks to him. He complains a second time and God speaks to him. Yet God uses that in the context of what I want to say today. So what lessons this morning can we learn from Habakkuk for today? If I'm saying hallelujah for Habakkuk, that he's got something for us today. The first thing I want to say, what lessons can we learn for you, for me, today? In our world that seems like it's spinning out of control, there's so much change, so much confusion. What's the first thing you and I can learn? Be prayerful and open for change. Be prayerful and open for change today. We need to allow the pain, we need to allow the dilemma over what we see happening around us, the social breakdown, the corruption, the sin, the injustice, drive us to God in fervent prayer. For when we do, that's where you and I will find the answers that we need. That's what Habakkuk did. We're to stand watch as Habakkuk did. God said to Habakkuk, look and hear. Look and see, but hear what I'm going to say with what you see. Don't just see with your natural eyes, Habakkuk. See in the way that I will speak to you through what I'm doing. Because in his natural eyes, he saw an evil power coming again. God, why haven't you stopped that? God had to speak to him differently to say, yes, but they are my instrument to bring righteousness. The Apostle Paul tells us also in 1 Thessalonians to pray without what? Without ceasing. That's about listening and obeying prayer. It's a lifestyle. Praying without ceasing is that you have come to a point that prayer is the oxygen of your soul, where prayer becomes an activity, but it also becomes something of where you receive from as much as you asked about. It's lifestyle. Now, while not all praying is going to be intercessory, some of it will, because God will get you to actually stand in the gap to pray for what you are seeing and what you are requiring God to do in the circumstances. So be prayerful and open to change in this season of turmoil. Open to change, not closed off. Number two, what other lesson? Be prepared for a visitation in this hour. Be prepared for a fresh visitation in this hour. In the midst of these turbulent times, God's visitation breaks open fresh interpretations and of old theologies. This is what he did for Habakkuk. Habakkuk had to change the way he actually perceived God would work. He had to come to a whole fresh understanding of how God was going to use what was happening in the world. He couldn't use yesterday's experience with God. He had to get something fresh from God now. And you and I need to be prepared for a fresh visitation in this hour. Fresh dimensions of His grace. Fresh dimensions of His outpouring. Because we will not understand what God is doing in this hour unless we have the same heart attitude as Habakkuk. And you can find that in Habakkuk 2:1 if you're looking at it. Therefore, like Habakkuk, we need to get ready in the midst of all the turbulence and all the change to hear God speak to us in fresh ways in these days that we're in, and especially in the turbulent days that are coming. If you think our days past have been turbulent, what is to come is going to be even greater. God's timings, God's ways, and our mission needs to be found within the midst of what God's doing in the midst of that. Not what he did in yesterday's season, but what he's doing now. We need to make way for a fresh visitation in our life, personally and corporately. That's why I said you need to say yes to what the Lord is speaking to you about. We need, in this hour, if we're going to really move into that which God wants us to move into, what Habakkuk had to move into, we need to be prepared to surrender something. We need to be able to surrender in order to engage in the new that God's bringing. We can't just hold on to the past, because sometimes how we interpreted things, like if Habakkuk was holding on to the past, he would never have been able to grab hold of the future. God wants us to be able to surrender. There'll be something that in this new season in God, you'll have to surrender to grab hold of the past. Otherwise, you'll be always wanting to go back to the old. Number three, get ready to run. Get ready to run. God enables and empowers men and women to run like he did Habakkuk with his now message. The now message. There is going to be a now message come upon you in your life, individually, corporately. Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. Habakkuk, here is this new message. You've looked and you've heard. Now, Habakkuk, what did he say? Write it down and run with it. You and I need to be prepared in this hour when God begins to speak to us with this urgency of this visitation of this word, to write it down in our hearts and to run with it. And to run with it. And not to be consumed by the circumstances that it comes to us in, because it's going to come to us in a similar circumstances and difficulties like Habakkuk. If our eyes are on the difficulties, we will not see and hear what God is doing through those to us and for us. God wants it, like Habakkuk, he wants to visit us. And in this visitation, what he gives us will edify us, yes, but it will also empower us to speak out. It'll give us the courage to speak out. It'll give us the ability to touch hearts in a turbulent world. And it'll also give us the empowerment to be able to disciple others, to bring his presence, to show forth change in the midst of all that is changing, but change in the sense of being able to bring a stability of life for people. You know, in the face of a rebellious and disobedient people, and in really confusing and dire circumstances, God enabled Habakkuk, and he wants to enable men and women like Habakkuk today to live by a sturdy, unshakable faith. Habakkuk 2:4 says, "The righteous shall live by faith." Who else quoted that? The Apostle Paul, remember? In the New Testament, the righteous shall live by faith. Habakkuk was the first person. So in the midst of all this change, Habakkuk trusted God even when he complained twice. Even when he complained twice. I want you to understand something. Great people of God have often quaked in fear. Great people of God have often quaked in fear. It doesn't mean they lack faith. They've learned to take their complaint to who? God. You want to complain, friends? Complain to the one who can actually take your complaint. And in the midst of it, reveal to you how he wants you to live, even with your complaining. Don't you like that about God? So get ready to run in this hour. Get ready to run with the mission and the word that God is bringing for this fresh visitation that he wants to bring. The change he wants you to be in your world. I'm not just talking about servants of Jesus, the community, yes, but I'm talking about in your world. Because what you are in your world, you'll bring to this world. So that together you can actually stand and be watchmen and women. Number four. Something new is about to happen. Something new is about to happen. We're traveling through these uncharted waters at the moment, but if we're ready, God will give to his people, you and I, a new way of looking, loving, and thinking about the world that we live in, regardless of the circumstances of the world. He tells Habakkuk that in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. We cannot control the actions of the wicked, but God can. And he will judge them. But he can also use the wicked like he did in Habakkuk's day to bring out of this things for his glory and his purpose and for our good. Remember that. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of it and get caught up with all the peripheral stuff. Find God in it because he's there. And he's going to use that to bring out of it what is on his heart and his agenda. It has not caught him by surprise. And Jesus said, when these things start to happen, don't be what? What?
Alarm.
Don't lose your focus. Stay on message. And that's what Habakkuk. Remember, don't lose sight of the reality that even in the midst of all this, God is breaking out and bringing something new in this hour that we have to grab hold of, because what's in it will be for our good. The scriptures reveal that he will not let the wicked go unpunished, by the way. You don't have to worry about what they're going to happen to them. Habakkuk, he said, that they're not going to go unpunished. You know, they will not go. But that's my job, not yours, to worry about. And you can find that in, you know, Proverbs chapter 11, Jeremiah 25, 20, verse 29, where you know, the wicked, God deals with them in his way. You know, like God said to Habakkuk in Habakkuk 1:5, look and see, for you will be utterly amazed. I love this. You will be utterly amazed by what I'm going to do in this hour. I think that's a word for you as a group, individually as well. You'll be utterly amazed. If you look at the circumstances, you'll say, where is God? But if you look at them, like Habakkuk wants you to look at them, and see what the world sees, but hear a different message. You have ears tuned to a different frequency, friends. Don't let your frequency be switched to the frequency of the world's ways of interpreting things. For Habakkuk had to stand in the midst of it, and he thought God had missed it, and he began to complain. And some of us have become like that at times in church, haven't we? Or aren't you really willing to say, maybe? And haven't we, like Habakkuk at times, thought, why do we, I prayed but nothing happens? You been there? Or am I the only one? Okay. That's okay, but take that complaint to God, not to Joe, not to you know, Simon or Richie or anyone, to God. And look and see, and be like Habakkuk, Lord, what are you doing? What are you teaching me? In the midst of it, God, I know, you says, the righteous shall live by faith. By faith. Point five. Lift your eyes and rejoice. Joy cometh in the morning. Lift your eyes and rejoice, for joy is coming in the midst of it. And that joy cometh in the morning. It's out of a psalm. I think it's Psalm 30, if I remember rightly. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Habakkuk begins his book. So the whole beginning of the book of Habakkuk, remember I said Habakkuk's a different prophet? It's a communication between who? God and Habakkuk himself. Habakkuk and God. And he is doing what to God? Complaining. He's complaining, okay? So Habakkuk begins this whole oracle complaining. You can read that in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. But he goes from complaining to celebrating in 56 verses. Celebrating. Celebrating, praising, and worshiping God. Habakkuk 3, verses 17 through to 19. Says something like this. Though the fig tree does not, there'll be no grapes on the, and the olive crops, there'll be no wheat in the, there'll be no herd in the, yet I will what? Rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. That's our secure position in God in this hour. Friends, understand the Lord hears our complaints and answers them. And the way he answers them with the object remembrance from his word and his faithfulness to us in our past seasons of life. That's how he speaks to us. He speaks to us from the word, and he also speaks to us out of his faithfulness to us in past seasons. And that enables us to stand now in the present. And he brings us to the point where we can be sure that his promises to us are secure in him in our future. Even in the midst of our complaining, we are able to do that. And also God will, in the midst of all this, provide a clear path that will not only bring him glory in the midst of the crisis that we're going through, but also give us the capacity to be his witnesses to a whole different way of living. Yes, you may complain, but complain with the right heart attitude. A heart attitude that maybe is broken because God's name is being sullied or God's name is being misused, rebellious, disobedient people, all those things. And remember, he's the only one who can handle your complaints. He handles the complaint department better than anyone else. But he also wants you to be able to receive what he wants to give to you. And also understand this morning, that God wants to answer your sincere requests, which are according to his purpose and his will. And he wanted to answer the complaints of his friend Habakkuk. But he also didn't want to leave Habakkuk in the midst of his complaining. And that's the same for you and I in this hour. Because he wants to use us, and he used Habakkuk as a world watcher, an interpreter in those times. So let prayer, patience, and praise, let prayer, patience, and praise be your place of refreshment before God. Prayer, patience, and praise be your place of refreshment before God. And understand this, friends. His ways are higher than our ways. What he does is for righteousness' sake and for our good, always. Therefore, we're called to rejoice even in the midst of the difficulties, the uncertainties, and even the calamities of life, the ones that we might have personally, but also the ones in which life presents to us. And I love this particular verse out of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 19. It was the first verse that was given to me in theological college to go out as a young preacher to preach on. And in those days, you had to do a circuit of around three churches. So by the time I got to the third one, I was okay. I don't know what about happened to the first people, but I think the second one got a bit better, but by the third, I was going for it. And it's this: rejoice, always pray, constantly give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. As in Habakkuk's day, there's a clear need in your world, my world, and the world we collectively inhabit today and stand in. There is a need today for a clear prophetic voice to be heard in our day and time. People need to hear from us an uncompromising message of truth. And Habakkuk could have got caught up in his complaining. He could have got caught up in the fact that there's divine inactivity going on. His prayers are not being answered. He could have become despondent. But he kept on going back to who? God. And he took that little bit. He didn't know about it then, but in fact, what we do, because we're on this side of the cross, he took that little bit of advice from Jesus that we need to take in the midst of the calamity. Don't be what? Alarmed. Stay on message. Stay focused. Don't lose your hard fought won, because the righteous live by faith, not by sight. But look, Habakkuk, look, church. Look, community, in the world, don't take the world's message from what you see, but ask God, and he will show you what he's actually doing and saying. As I wrap this right up now, let me recap for you what I believe the Lord is saying in this hour. From this book of Habakkuk, to you this morning. Be prayerful and open to change. I hope you are prepared to be open to God for change in your life and in the season that's coming. Be prepared, like Habakkuk, in the midst of the calamity, in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of a world that seems to be going mad, be prepared for a fresh visitation from God. You've heard Richie just before me get up and speak about going to another level. That was very reassuring for me to hear that this morning, in the context of what I'm speaking about today. And in the midst of this, you get ready to run with this message. You get ready of it. Get ready. Not just the community, but you. By the way, I have been so challenged by this message myself. I haven't preached it like this before. So I'm challenged this morning thinking, man, what have I got to surrender? Lord, what are you speaking to me about? If I'm going to engage with this message myself, what am I supposed to do? Where's my surrendering to engage with the future? Because if we're going to engage with the future, we've got to let go of something in the past. You know, we can't go through one door if we have still got this one open. We've got to close something off. Get ready to run. That means what? Energy. It means focus. It means discipline. It means, come on. Smarten up. Otherwise, you're going to miss it. Habakkuk, write it down and run with it. Community, write it down, whatever it is, and run with it that God's given you. Something new is about to happen. You may not see it right now, but it's coming. Habakkuk, community, it's coming. And lift your eyes. Rejoice. For joy cometh in the morning. So, we can all say hallelujah for Habakkuk. Can we do that this morning? Hallelujah for Habakkuk. May the Lord bless you. Lord, I thank you today for my friends in this place and those online. And I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us this day, hearing this word, will not just hear the words, but, Lord, be able to say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Use me, Lord. Yes. Use me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.